Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our word comes this morning from Matthew 19:3-12. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, 'Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?' He said to them, 'Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery.' The disciples said to him, 'If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry.' But he said to them, 'Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it.'" Our second scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 7:32-35. "I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord."
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word this morning. And we pray, Father God, that as you speak to us through your word this morning, that our hearts would be open, that our ears would be receptive, Lord God, and that we would hear your voice and that we would obey, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for this time together with our family this morning. We honor you. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And we all say, amen. So good. So good to see everyone here this morning. So we're continuing in our series called One Anothering. Okay, One Anothering. And so we're looking at God's way of building relationships, right? God's blueprint for relationships. And so over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at, you know, how to be a friend, how to make friends, how God has called us to go out and make friends with the people around us in our neighborhood, in our workplaces, to eventually so that they would hear the message of the gospel. That's why we become friends with people. Also, we've talked about last week, Pastor Ta'ulu was with us, right? And he talked about loneliness, right? And how we need to recognize that there are people around us that are lonely. And so for us, it's about connecting them to God. So when we befriend them, when we become friends with them, then we're able to, you know, hopefully show the character, the nature of God in those relationships with them so that they will see, oh, wow, this God, this Jesus must be a pretty amazing guy. And so hopefully that they would come to arrive at that place of receiving the gospel as well. So today, I'm very excited about today's message because today we're talking about singleness. Yes. Ooh. All the singles are like, hey, right? Okay. So the title of my message is Single and Complete. Single and complete, okay? Everyone say single and complete.
Single and complete.
So, but you married people, you better say married and complete, okay? Married people, okay? Single and complete. Okay, so that's the title message. Okay, so when we look at the makeup of most churches, right? When we look at churches in general, I think we tend to see or we notice more families, right? It's families that we'll probably see first, you know, that sort of grab our attention. But there's a group of people in our church that can be a bit of an afterthought, right? But they are usually the most faithful, servant-hearted, and willing people in the church. And these people are our singles. Single people, right? Now, there are a variety of reasons why a person may be single, whether it's by choice or whether it's through journeys, through life's journey that they are single. But most of us, I think all of us, will get to experience a form of singleness throughout our life, right? Maybe some of us will experience it at a couple of points in our lives. And so I want us to know that there is nothing wrong with being single, okay? There is nothing wrong with being single. You are not faulty. You are not broken. You're not forgotten. You are not unusable when you are single. In fact, you have so much available to you through God's calling and His purpose if you choose God's route. And so in his book, The Seven Myths About Singleness, the author Sam Albury, he looks at seven common misconceptions or false impressions about singleness in the church and in the world. And he shows us how we can think biblically about relationships and God's purposes for them. And so a couple of things that I want to highlight for us today is this. The first one is this. Singleness is too hard. Singleness is too hard. Albury argues that singleness is not a burden. Singleness is not a curse, but it is a gift from God. It is a gift from God that can be used for His glory. Amen? And he shows us how God provides grace and strength for singles to endure the challenges and temptations that they face. And so the next one I want to mention that he mentions is singleness requires a special calling. Singleness requires a special calling. And so the author, he says that singleness is not a second-class status. It's not a second-class status, or it's not a sign of deficiency. It's not a sign that there is something wrong with you. But it's a normal and honorable way of life for many Christians. Okay? And he also clarifies what it means to have a calling and how singles can discern God's calling, God's will for their lives. The next one is singleness means no intimacy. Singleness means no intimacy. And so Albury, he says that singleness does not mean isolation or loneliness, but it's an opportunity to cultivate deep and meaningful relationships with God and God's people. Amen? He also explores how singles can express and receive appropriate affection and intimacy in healthy ways. Because when I think about this word intimacy, I think a lot of it gets connected to, okay, I'm going to say this word, okay? So don't be like, oh, Pastor said the S word. Yes, intimacy usually is connected to the word, to sex. That's what people usually think of. Oh, intimacy, oh, it's all about the sex. It's all about the sex. But it's like, no, it's not. It's not about just that. That is an aspect of it. But intimacy is so much deeper. Intimacy is so much more. Okay? Is that okay? So the last one is this. The last one I want to highlight from his book. He does seven, but I'm only covering four. And so the last one is singleness means no family. Singleness means no family. And so Albury, he demonstrates that singleness does not mean that singles are disconnected or excluded or alienated, but it's about inclusion. It's about belonging in God's family. It means that they are part of God's spiritual family, like this. So look around. Anyone have a look around? These are your brothers and sisters, right? He also suggests how singles can contribute to and benefit from the church as they in their spiritual family. Okay, so it's a great book, okay? Great book for both singles and married to read about, right? It gives us perspective on singleness, okay? And so singleness is a gift from God. It is an honorable way to live a life for God, a life for God's calling, a life for God's kingdom. And it is this beautiful way of experiencing deep and wide relationships, okay, within a spiritual family context called the church. And that's us. We're the church. And so it's on this note that I want to introduce something a little bit different, okay? Something a little bit different. You're probably thinking, what are the four chairs for, Henry? Oh, and it's me, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No. We got some special guests here today. Oh, not guests. We got family with us this morning. And so if you can please help me welcome up. We got Marius and Natalia and Lossa. Come on down, guys. Come on down. Come on down. They're a bit shy, these guys. Come on over here. And so what we're going to be doing today, we're going to be doing a little panel talk, okay? Okay, with these beautiful people up here, okay? And so I'm going to have some couple of questions and I'm going to ask them and then I'm going to get them, some of them, to share a little bit about those questions, okay? But first, just to kick things off, would it be okay if you guys, you know, just give a little bit of perspective about yourself and your, you know, your where you're at, the season that you're at, okay? Just to help, you know, just to help form. Is that right? Context. Is that all right? It's not pass the mic. It's take the mic and speak, okay? Oh, my goodness. Nah, is that all right? Is that right? Oh, poor Marius, eh? The only guy got outnumbered.
Yes, hello, good morning. I'm Marius. I'm 34, and I'm the youngest and the only boy, so that already says a lot, given that I think we all share the same culture, only boy, and still single at 34. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Marius. Give him a hand. Thank you. Natalia.
Hey, good morning, church family. My name is Natalia. I am 47, and I am a single mother of 8. I was probably married for about just short of 19 years, but I was divorced, and now I've been single for 7 years. So that's my background. There's more to come.
Thank you. Thank you, Natalia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lossa. I'm 28. I've got nothing exciting to share. I'm the second eldest of 4, and I think I'm a really proud auntie. I think that's something I'm excited to share.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, nice. Yes, give him a hand. Okay, so first question I'll give to you, Lossa. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay, so Lossa, what are some aspects of your life that you value and enjoy as a single person?
Aspects that I value and enjoy, being surrounded by so many married family members and couples, I'd have to say flexibility, the ability to like just get up and go to training and do doubles if I feel like it, or even just after church, if someone was to invite me somewhere, I would be able to do so without having to be mindful of like a partner or children. So being able to be spontaneous at the same time as well.
Spontaneous, I like that. Yeah.
Just the ability to do so, sleep, a lot of rest. I think we're just as busy as married couples as well, but just knowing that you don't want to do your laundry, you don't have to, because I'll do it tomorrow, and I don't have kids or a partner waiting on me doing it. And as well as that, I think just even the ability to fellowship. I think there have been so many times where I've needed a ride, and I've been able just to slide into, like, I would say, like, 95% of the church's cars to catch a ride. Yep. And even fellowship during that time as well.
That's
so
good.
Without it being weird, just to jump into family's cars or dinners.
Nice. Thank you.
To do so.
Awesome. Yeah. So good. Anyone else got anything else extra to add? No? All good? Nothing? No? Sweet. Don't give me the mic. Sorry. Thank you, Lossa. So my next question is to Marius. We can pass the mic to Mr. Marius down here. Okay, Marius, so what kind of support systems do you have when it comes to discussing your emotions, your experiences, your calling? right?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, emotions. It's funny that you mentioned that, because you know how we are humans, but at the same time we are called to walk in the image and likeness of Jesus, right? Mm. So sometimes we do react, which is, so that's the first reaction. I have my housemates because they're in close proximity. But when I start asking about the deeper questions, what am I really supposed to do with these things, these emotions, I go to family and also to church, not just the biological, but spiritual family. So nice. I have like Pastor Nelly, Pastor Henry, and also the anchors that I have around me, which are my mentors, like Jomar, if you guys know that, he's a guy from Central, Filipino guy too. And also Adil, other guys that are also, I'm connected with. So yeah, I talked to them because they were also single before. And now they're not.
A lot of us were.
So they see they see the both sides of the thing, and they can guide me because they've already been there. So
That's good. So I hope you captured that, you know, that having the multiple anchors in your life, you know, not just your friends, because sometimes your friends tell you things you don't and shouldn't need to hear, all right?
Yeah.
Some of those friends, right? But you need to go to people that, like, you know, that are maybe spiritual family, like pastors, leaders, you know. It doesn't have to be the pastor all the time, right? Maybe you got a life group leader, right? But it's those trusted, grounded people in the Word of God that we need to have in our lives as well. So, yeah. Awesome. Is there anyone else that want to add anything to that? Yeah? Yeah? All good? Wow. Okay, I didn't plan this, but that's all good. That's all good. Nah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Marius. Okay, the next one, Natalia. Is that right? So, Natalia, this is a question for you. How can the church balance the focus on families with creating an inclusive and welcoming environment for singles?
Thank you for the question, Pastor Henry.
I feel like a TV host. Disgusting.
You know, the thing that I love about Every Nation, you know, as a church family, especially coming in at a time in which I was a single mother, very broken, what I love is that because of Jesus, you know, no one's ever judged me when I came in broken, yet, you know, finding my path with God, with our church family, they've always included, you know, I've always felt included when I've come along. It's not like, oh, you're done for, you're a divorcee, you know, single mum, you know, can't do anything on your own. So I love that our church families, you know, both embrace everyone. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. It doesn't matter what you've been through. This is the beautiful thing that I love about it. So there's never ever really been a problem with feeling inclusive, you know, the inclusivity. I think, you know, obviously there are times in which it's pointed out, you're still single, when are you going to, you know, are you in a relationship, what are you doing, are you on dating apps, what are you, you know. And that's cool, you know, and I also know that some of us have parents who suddenly, you know, add on the end. So I've worked in customer service pretty much my whole life. One of the things in customer service is however you greet, the last thing you say is usually what you know, a caller will remember. So in this case, you always introduce yourself and then you finish with the number, phone number. So hopefully that's the last thing they remember. I have good friends, not saying anyone, where they're introduced as, hi, this is, so, you know, by their parent maybe, especially mothers, where they say, hi, this is so-and-so, and she's single. You know, we got to love our parents, and I love that, you know, our mothers are just, you know, they always want the best for us, you know, and, you know, because we have Jesus, we can heal from that trauma.
Rise weekend.
Yes,
we have those.
But you know, it's beautiful. I love seeing, you know, the singles we have in our church, the families, and I love that we never feel as though we're left out, you know, or we're discounted, you know, just because we haven't got a family, or, you know, I have a family, I just don't have a head of the family yet. Anyway, leave that to you, Jesus.
Amen.
But you know, so you know, the inclusivity, I'm sure for those of you who have continued to come back and are regulars, you all feel, you know, that sense of family, the sense of togetherness, and the sense that with God, anything is possible. So that's the main takeaway for me.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you. Give him a hand. Nice. So I love that, you know, I don't know if any of us are aware of that, but you know that let's call it a pressure, you know, pressure sometimes from, you know, to see marriage as the end goal, right? To see marriage as that's the main purpose of life, to get married. But not everyone's called to be married. Not everyone is, you know, is made to be married. And so being able to find that peace, that comfort, that acceptance in who God has called that person to be, and to walk in that in fullness, you know, not without any judgment or without any, you know, sort of thinking of, oh, there's something wrong with them. They're not married, right? Allowing them to walk in what God has called them to, rather than thinking, oh, man, you should hurry up and get married, eh? You know? Or I know a guy. I know a sister. I know a brother. I'll hook you up. You know, let's let them figure, you know, all we do is come alongside them, encourage them towards Jesus, towards Christ, towards knowing Jesus more and more. That's the best. Like for me, that's what I hear, is that surrounding ourselves in family, in Christ-centered family, right, is such a key thing. And so this is a last one for you guys. It wasn't part of the plan, but I know you guys think really well on your feet. And so what's one thing, if each of you have one thing that you were to say to a young person, a single person, what would that be? Just one thing that you would just say to them, you know, that would help them. What would that be? So I'll let you. Yep, there you go. There we go. Start with the youngest.
I think just like you're exactly where you need to be.
Nice.
And for such a long time, yeah, I was of the understanding that once I finish high school, I will find a boyfriend, get married, and have kids. And but that wasn't part of God's plan, and it still isn't as of yet. And nice. I'm really grateful that it wasn't my plan. So, yeah, you're good. Exactly where you need to be. And it'll happen in God's timing. And if you force it, it'll be like poop.
No, just yeah. Just joking. Yeah. Don't force it. Okay, don't force it.
Really?
Age. It's the power age.
I'm 18. No. Okay, actually, I'm going to say this to my younger self. I was not a Christian my entire life. I just gave my life to Jesus like 6 years ago. And before that, I dated like a lot. I was in, I was actually in a relationship that was like kind of de facto. But all of them didn't work out. And I'm going to share to you something that someone has shared to me before. A marriage is, if you can imagine strings, one string can break easily. Two strings, kind of tough. But if it's three strings and you have it in like trintas, what's it? Trintas in?
Intertwined?
Braid. Yeah. I need to get my hair braid back. If it's three strings, then it's really tough. And in the context of marriage, that would be man, woman, and Jesus. If I come to a woman with just myself, without the relationship with Jesus, I'm just going to risk the breaking of the other person as well. So I cannot put myself, I cannot put, if even if it's just myself, because like I really don't care much, but if it's putting another person at risk with breaking, I cannot live with that. So I have to tell my younger self, like, dude, get right with Jesus, walk with Jesus as two strands. If you want to invite someone else, it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be really strong. So yeah.
Nice. Wow. This guy. Okay. Shot, bro. Next one. Yeah. Okay. Don't start thinking, oh, I know a girl. Okay, stop it. Nice. Sounds.
Well, maybe I should have gone before you. Gosh, that was a mic drop if I haven't heard one. Look, I know for me, I just want to quickly share, you know, because obviously I have been in a season of marriage and now I'm single again. It's not over for you if you're ever in that position. God can really redeem and reconcile everything for you. So for me, it's telling the younger ones that in God there is always hope.
Amen.
You know, there is always hope. The beautiful thing about my testimony is that I can see both sides. I've lived both sides, right? And so I know in this season for me, it's a time in which I can speak life into others who may be going through the same thing as I have. And even with the singles, you know, the younger people, I can also speak into their life as well. You know, just as a reflection of the experiences that I've gone through. So, yeah, definitely for me, it's always that, you know, God is definitely hope.
Amen. Awesome. What a mic drop moment. Awesome. Can we give them all a hand? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well done. Well done. Oh, so good. So good. So singleness. I hope you're encouraged by that. You know, the whole purpose, like for me, getting up these three people is just to give us maybe a glimpse, maybe for some of us, a reminder what it was like to be single. But it's like getting a glimpse into singles that are walking life out today with Christ, right? With Christ. I love what Marius was sharing about, you know, that the three strands, right? Jesus is that center that keeps us together, right? And so there will come times, like, you know, for those of us, there will come times where we may end up being single again, especially for married couples, because you know that it's very highly unlikely that both you and your husband will die at exactly the same time, right? And so there may be a season where a husband or a wife will walk through life single. My dad passed away in 2005. And so my mum was a widow for 4 years. And then she passed away in 2009. And so in that time that I saw my mum, I saw, you know, there was a great, you know, sadness in her because she missed her husband, her companion. So it was a real gift for her because she got to spend time with her grandkids. She got to see the marriage of one of her daughters. And even she got to move here in Australia and be with us here in Australia and serve with us alongside me and my sisters in the church that we were at that time. From our reading today in Matthew, Jesus enters this place, enters a place in Judea, and there are large crowds following him. And these Pharisees come up to him with these questions about divorce. And they say, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" For any cause. And Jesus, as he usually does, he points them to the law, the Mosaic law, because Pharisees, they know the law, or they should know the law. And so Jesus points them back to the original intention of marriage. And in verse 5, it says this, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And so this is like a common, I suppose, passages that you'll hear at weddings, right? When two become one, because that's what's happening, right? You have a man and a woman coming together under the covenant of God, the covenant of marriage created by God. And so they become this one flesh. And so the Pharisees question this. They question Jesus. And they say this, "Why then did Moses give the command to give a certificate of divorce and send her away?" So their question was because they knew that Moses had said this. And so they took what he said about marriage that, oh, you know, nah, you can have a divorce if you give them a certificate, okay? And they thought that was a command. Their interpretation of what that said was, that's a command. And then Jesus, he does this crazy thing, usually like throughout his ministry life, where he will quote the law, and then he'll say something like this, but I say to you, and this is what he says here in verse 8, and he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed, everyone say allowed. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Do you see the correction or the rebuke from Jesus? The Pharisees thought it was a command. But Jesus corrects him. He says, nah, it wasn't a command. It was an allowance that Moses gave because of the condition of the people's heart. Right? So he's correcting this. He's realigning their thinking to this because they've read it in the scriptures and they're saying, oh, it's a command because God said it. And then Jesus says, no, it's not. It's an allowance. It's something that Moses just said because of you, because of your hearts, because of the condition in which you were. And then Jesus points them back to the original intention, to what it was in the beginning. It's interesting that the disciples' response to this, to Jesus' statement to the Pharisees, is like, oh, wow, if it's going to be that hard, you know, for a husband and wife, it's better not to get married. It's just best to stay single. That was their attitude towards that. But Jesus recognizes that celibacy is good, but it may not be for everyone. And in the same way, marriage is good, but it may not be for everyone. And then Jesus goes on to talk about three kinds of eunuchs, right? Now, a eunuch is a term given to a man that has been cut off, been castrated, right? And so he loses his manhood, okay? And so he talks about these three types, three kinds of eunuchs. And so he mentions those that are born without the capacity to have sex and be in marriage. And that, he says that these ones are born with that. And then the next ones are those who are made by others. So those people that are without the capacity for sex and marriage. And so you think of like eunuchs that are put into the king's service, into his royal service. These were men that were usually very loyal and very respected and trusted by the king. And so they would be in charge of the king's wives and his concubines. So he was around females, so he had to be cut off so that, you know, hello, he's looking after the king's ladies, the king's wives and all that. And so that was the purpose of eunuch in that sense. But then there's also those that chose to live without the sex and the marriage for the kingdom and glory of God. This is the biblical aspect of singleness when you make a choice to follow God, making the choice to walk in all that God has for you as a single person. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:34 that the unmarried is anxious or focused about the things of the Lord, the calling of God. And this is where these eunuchs that chose celibacy for the sake of the kingdom are included. And so in some sense, you could say that Jesus was in a eunuch because he wasn't married and he was doing the will of God, right? And so he chose to do this. He chose to obey his father. He chose to live this single life. So I remember as myself when, you know, as growing up in the circle of friends that I was hanging out with, me and my wife were hanging out with at the time, all of our friends were getting married. All of them were like, ooh, they're getting married. Ooh, cool. you know, should we get married? But it was like, you know, that was the thing. That was like the focus. It was like made that, you know, marriage was the point of coming together. Marriage was the objective. Marriage was the goal. And so there was this, I suppose, this sense of, how would you put it? Like an idol. You could see marriage as an idol. Because if you think about it, you're trying to say, yes, marriage, you got to do marriage. And you're saying, yes, married, get married, and then all your problems will go away. No, it's not. You're living in a fantasy land, bruh. Okay? It's not. In fact, it makes it so much more interesting, right? Married couples, isn't life more interesting with your husband and your wife? Is that the right term? We're not going to use the hara, but it's interesting, right? It's more interesting because you're no longer responsible for your own life, but you're responsible for your wife. And if you have children, your children as well. So, do you want to get married? When you understand the calling for the kingdom of God and His glory, then that should outweigh any cultural expectations and traditions, right? When we understand the calling that God has called us to, then it should outweigh, it should override any sort of societal sort of expectations and traditions. Because if we're founded on Christ, we should see that our relationship with Jesus is our first priority. That is our first relationship. That is our first, if you want to use the term, marriage with Jesus. That's where the priority needs to be. And then if God brings someone along without you chasing after them, then awesome. You know, if that's the one that you know, that God brings into your path, then there's confirmation. You know, it's good to get confirmation that they're the right person, right? Because you may see the outside, they may look like 100%, but their inside is like, oh, dirty, dirty. You know? Because we can look good on the outside, but, oh, character-wise, oh, yo, you want to go here, baby? No. Get out of here, boy. You know? Okay? Keeping Christ at the center of our life will ensure that we will see people that are chasing after Christ in the same way that we are, that desire after the lifestyle of Christ the same way that we are. If we yoke ourselves with people that don't run that way, that aren't running that way, that don't think that way, then what's going to happen? There's going to be an imbalance eventually. There's going to be an imbalance in our lives. And you're either going to, see you later, I'm out of here, right? Or on the very odd occasion, they will come and they will receive because they've seen it in your life and they've seen the transformation in you. But a lot of the times, when we walk into it as a Christian and we're trying to yoke ourselves with people that are not, they don't think the way that we think. They don't have the same expectations. They don't have the same standard of living as we do. Then that can make life very difficult. That can make things hard. So I want our church to have a better understanding of what a biblical single life means. Because it's not just about how these people can be used to do things that us married couples may not want to do. Like, you know, usually you look to the single people for like babysitting stuff, right? Oh, you're single, you got no life, go look after the kids, right? Come on. Don't worry, I've done that sometimes too. But you know, we need to see them, okay? That we as a church would be able to see our single people with a new lens that invite them into deeper and more meaningful relationships to build with them, right? And what that could look like is maybe you invite them into your family, right? Invite them to come, hey, why don't you come have dinner with us? You know, our chef, come along, come through. And maybe, you know, one time they might say, hey, the single person might say, yeah, come on, I'll take you out to dinner. I'm like, wow, sweet, you know. But that's where we're building these healthy relationships. That's where we're getting to discover more. And we get to have deeper conversations about, you know, what God may be speaking to us. And we're able to encourage one another and speak life to them. What Easter was talking about, right? And it's in that proximity, in that environment of where Christ is the center of this place. So how do we all work together in this? Yeah, you're single, but I'm married. But that doesn't matter. The most important thing is our relationship with Christ. How are we walking together towards Christ? Together. Because that's what we have in common, is that relationship with Christ. Singleness is not a mistake or a defect, but it's a gift and a grace from God, okay? Our youth that are sitting in here, what these guys shared is like, hopefully you said, oh, okay, I'm going to file that. And not like, nah, that's not me. Because when it happens to you, you'll be saying, oh, I wish I listened. But like, this is for you as well. You may not be in that situation, but you are a single person. And you may think, oh, it's not on my radar, but it's good to get it in you and walk along with Christ through this so that when that happens, because it's going to happen, you're going to come to that situation. You're going to come to that choice where you'll have to make one. And hopefully you say, okay, God, is this your will for me? Rather than, oh, yes, please, let's go, you know? I hope that we will encourage our single people towards relationship with Christ, towards a deep and meaningful relationship with Christ, and that we and our families will nurture and build this. I've heard it described like this, that singleness and marriage is two windows looking into one kingdom. Singleness and marriage is two windows looking into one kingdom. We just got different perspectives, but we're all looking at the same kingdom. All right? So whether we're single or whether we're married, if Christ is the one we're focusing on, that's who we're looking at. That's who we're walking towards. That's who we're going after, right? We're called to the missions. We are called to missions. We're called to seek and save the lost. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came for that very reason. And so we as a spiritual family need to remember that our ultimate destiny and reward is not in this life, but in the life to come, when we'll see Jesus face to face and be part of his glorious bride. Did you hear that? We will all be part of Jesus' glorious bride. Listen to this. In Matthew 22:30, for in the resurrection, they are neither married nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And so in heaven, marriage is not a thing. Marriage is a thing here. Marriage is what we've chosen to do here. But in heaven, there's no marriage there. We're all single in heaven, but we're married to Jesus. We're married to Jesus, every single one of us, if we choose him. So singleness, it's going to end us off. Singleness is not an obstacle or a hindrance, but it's an opportunity and a blessing from God to fully focus on his calling, to find completeness in him, to discover our identity and security in him alone. It is a way of glorifying him and enjoying him forever. And so here are a couple of questions for us, right? How are we at inviting others into our lives? How are we at inviting others into our lives? Whether they're single, whether they're married, Do we make space for others in our family life? Think that through. And the next one is this. How can we as a church redefine intimacy and family? Right? Intimacy and family. Remember, intimacy is not just about sex. It's not. It's about deeper, healthier, stronger relationships with each other. First and foremost, with Jesus. So how do we redefine that? How do we help our church to recognize that and grow in that? And also family. Just because a single person comes in here, they aren't alone. They aren't alone. When they become part of God's family, that's them choosing Jesus. And then we become brothers and sisters in Christ. Every single one of us, we see each other as that. That's our family, right? That's our family. So I want to give us a couple of minutes, okay? Three, four minutes to have a discussion with the person next to you about this. How are we inviting others into our lives? Just you yourself, have a talk through that. You know, how does it look like? You know, how can we as a church redefine intimacy and family? Okay? So have a chat about that. You know, young people, I'd love to get your input around this conversation as well. Okay? Is that okay? Cool.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.